Today, the Bush administration announced its decision to stop all sales of the popular weight loss supplement Ephedra. It's the government's first ever ban on a dietary supplement. The FDA says Ephedra is linked to an array of health hazards, from high blood pressure and irregular heartbeat to heart attack, stroke, and death. The supplement was blamed in the death of professional baseball player Steve Beckler earlier this year. The ban will become effective 60 days after the new rule is published, but the FDA gave no immediate date for publication. If you have questions about Ephedra and today's announcement, you can give us a call, 800-989-8255, or email us, totn@npr.org. In a few minutes, we'll talk about the impact of this announcement on the supplement industry. But first, we're joined by Dr. Phil Fontanarosa, executive editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association, co-author of an editorial earlier this year that called for greater regulation of dietary supplements. And he joins us from his office in Chicago. Good to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil. Wonderful to join you again.
I take it you would regard this announcement today as good news.
I think this is very good news for the public and for all of those who had been using this product, to let them know that that was the wrong thing to do, and the time to stop taking this product, as I think Secretary Thompson said, is now.
Let's do a bit of catch-up. What is ephedra, and why is it considered dangerous?
Ephedra is one of the various products marketed under, as you indicated, dietary supplements. And ephedra is basically a stimulant-type agent that can cause a lot of symptoms and signs related to various stimulants, palpitations, and other types of symptoms. The allure of ephedra is that it's supposedly effective for causing weight loss, and also has been touted to help achieve and improve athletic performance. But we know from a review article and some studies that were published that the evidence to support those types of activities and benefits is very, very limited.
Mm. Now, given what we know, why did it take so long to see some action on this?
Well, I think that that's a question that will be asked by many, many people. But the simple reason is that the current regulations governing dietary supplements, the so-called DSHEA Act, the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act that was passed in 1994, effectively allows dietary supplements to be regulated, but in a very unusual way, in that the burden of proof is on the government if it wishes to take any regulatory action against a supplement. In other words, the government has to show that the supplement presents some type of harm before it can take action. And this is, you know, backward to the usual regulation of drugs and other active compounds, where companies, manufacturers, have to show evidence of safety and efficacy before these products can get on the market.
But this is the argument that these are basically food and therefore not subject to the same kind of regulation. And, of course, other people have argued that they're being marketed and treated as drugs. They have drug-like effects and should be marketed and regulated the other way.
Exactly right. It's pretty simple. If these dietary supplements have or promote biological activity, can make you lose weight, can make you have better athletic performance, then they have to have some type of drug-like activity, biological activity. And if, in fact, they do have biological activity, then they should be regulated as drugs. And if, in fact, they don't have biological activity, then their ability to cause the physiologic changes that support claims for all the wonderful things they do certainly should be challenged.
Let's get a caller on the line, and this is David, who's with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, I just was wondering, there are common over-the-counter drugs like Sudafed and Contact that their primary ingredient is pseudoephedrine, which was modeled after ephedra deliberately by the drug companies and have a very similar effect to ephedra, and yet they're still available at any Walgreens. So I wondered why that would be.
Dr. Fontanarosa?
My understanding of those, and I'd have to check the dosages for you, is that the dosages are much lower than in many of the supplements. And in fact, there is a reporting system for adverse effects that occur with these types of products. There's mandatory post-marketing surveillance and monitoring that requires adverse effects to be reported and monitored. And if clusters of adverse effects from these products did arise, as occurred earlier, I think a couple years ago, with over-the-counter cough preparations, those would be reported and appropriate action would be taken. Under DSHEA, there is no similar type of reporting mechanism in place.
Thanks for the question.
Okay, thank you.
Were you surprised by today's announcement, and what do you think was actually behind it?
I think with everything going on in the world right now, in the U.S. and the world, I think the announcement today was probably a little bit unanticipated, and I really couldn't begin to speculate as to what is behind it, other than the process working as best as it can under current regulations. That is, the evidence, the totality of the evidence, must have risen to a level that Dr. McClellan and the FDA and others felt that the decision was appropriate, and I can't speculate about the timing.
Let's go to Tom, and Tom's with us from Tucson, Arizona.
Hello. I have a question about the ephedra. I don't know if it's just banned in dietary supplements or if it's banned all around, because I'm concerned about my wife, who's an acupuncturist, and she prescribes ephedra in Chinese formulas, which have been used for years, and I don't know what she's going to do now.
One would assume the FDA ban would include that as well, wouldn't it, Dr. Fontanarosa?
I would assume that the companies that manufacture any type of ephedra as an herbal supplement would be notified that this ban would apply to their products.
Hmm. Well, why punish people who have used it in a, you know, in the way it should be used in? You know,
well,
as people who have, you know, it's the typical abusing something that shouldn't be used in a certain way. You know?
There are a lot of issues that come into use of any drug: dosage, frequency, indications, proper use and abuse. All of these factors come into play. I think that the main target here has been the use of ephedra to support claims of weight loss, to enhance athletic performance. I think that there are studies that, there are no studies really that show there is benefit there. Yet there are plenty of studies that have shown that there are real risks associated with this product. So I think we're walking a fine line by looking at the evidence on one side that shows no real evidence and risk, and on the other side saying, well, maybe in a lower dose that this is going to be effective.
Yeah, well, it's been, I mean, those formulas have been around for centuries. And I think that the government is jumping the gun by not, you know, looking at the whole situation.
Well, let me follow up on Tom's point, and thanks very much for the call, Tom, and ask Dr. Fontanarosa, are you concerned that a black market might now develop in ephedra products, either for Chinese healers or for baseball pitchers, for that matter?
Well, I suppose anything is possible with respect to a black market, import from other places. Sure, all of those things are possible. We can only control the things that that we can, and I think in this case, with the steps taken by the FDA to ban this product through the outlets that distribute it widely is an important first step.
Dr. Phil Fontanarosa, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Dr. Fontanarosa is executive editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association. He was speaking with us on the phone from Chicago, and joining us now to talk about the impact of this move. Excuse me, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And joining us now to talk about the impact of this move on the supplement industry is Patrick Ray. He's research director at the Nutrition Business Journal. He's with us from his office in San Diego. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
A couple of years ago, ephedra was the big moneymaker for the dietary supplement industry. Is that still true?
Well, a couple of years ago, it certainly was one of the moneymakers. I think it peaked out at about $1.3 billion in sales in the United States in 2001. Today, however, it's down to about $510 million. That's for 2003, representing approximately 2.5% of total dietary supplement sales in the United States. So, though at one point it was a big player, it's now a much smaller contributor to total sales in the United States.
Why have sales gone down?
Well, I think it's a number of reasons. Certainly, there's been a lot of bad press. notable deaths, unfortunate deaths related or to ephedra. But I think one of the major drivers that maybe people don't see playing in the background was the cost of product liability insurance for companies to manufacture and market and sell the product. Essentially, many of the companies exited the market in 2002 because of this this rising expense that made it essentially an unprofitable venture for them to sell the product.
Presumably after today's announcement, we don't know when the ban would take effect, but anybody selling it between now and then better call their lawyers, do you think?
Well, they're definitely, I think anyone willing or interested in filing a lawsuit against or currently having a lawsuit against any of these manufacturers or marketers, they definitely gain a chip in their suits against these companies after this FDA action.
Do you think that the industry is going to fight this regulation?
You know, it's unclear. I think a lot of the people I've spoken to, you know, have a feeling that, you know, this is a battle that was already over. A number of the companies, many of the companies are already out of the market. Sales declined. And the companies that were in ephedra have switched to ephedra-free weight loss formulas and relatively successfully. So really just not a fight worth fighting for.
Yet this is the first dietary supplement to be banned by the FDA. Surely some people would see this as the start of a slippery slope.
Yeah, I think many are concerned and going to be watching this closely. Will it set a precedent? There are a number of senators looking at the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act and looking to review that, maybe rewrite it. And I think the industry is dead set against that, opting to promote consumer choice and use of dietary supplements.
Here's an email we got from Scott in Winona, Minnesota. For those of us who have responsibly used ephedra, as it has always been used for centuries as an herbal medicine, what can we do when we start to see our herbs slowly becoming banned?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern. In Asia, I'm pretty sure they use this for asthma, but in a much smaller dose. Certainly, in the United States, the dosages are higher, and it's used for a different purpose. And that should be a concern of the FDA regulators when looking to ban a product like this. But it seems like they haven't taken that really into consideration. So who knows? Maybe this is a first step, and they'll back off. But it certainly will be a concern of the herbal practitioners, the Chinese practitioners who've used ephedra for hundreds and thousands of years.
And the same question I put to Dr. Fontana Rosa just a minute ago. People who want to lose weight are passionate about that. There's also the Chinese herbal uses. Would you anticipate that there might be a black market?
Yeah, there's always an opportunity for that, especially with a product so easily shipped from a website of overseas. I think in Canada, ephedra is not, is seen as a drug, and in Mexico, I believe it's also illegal to be sold over the counter. So, you know, nearby there aren't as many opportunities, but with the advent of the internet, it's definitely possible that people could be buying from overseas sources.
And couldn't somebody grow it here?
Certainly, that's quite possible. If you want to grow it in your backyard and put it in a tea and use it for asthma, or maybe combine it with a strong cup of coffee, you could have a formula similar to that used by the marketers of ephedra supplements today.
Thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. My pleasure.
Patrick Ray is Research Director at the Nutrition Business Journal, and he was with us from his office in San Diego. More on this story later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.